in the Smart Choice Windows and More studio. It is Rodney McLeod, ladies and gentlemen. It is time to spill tea. I've never said that term before. I feel weird saying it, but I'm going to say it right now. Rodney McLeod about to go scorched earth in this studio. Hello.
What's going on? How y'all doing this morning?
I'm good. I wanted to text you before the game. I decided not to.
Why not?
I didn't want to bother you. I don't know.
Why?
I was like, I just wanted you to enjoy everything about that game on Saturday. I really wanted you to take in the moment and enjoy it.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely did that. I definitely took it all in. I thought we had better relationship than that. You know, you can – yeah, it wouldn't have been a problem just to hit me with a good luck today.
So he – by the way, Rodney McLeod, if you're just joining us, if you've never heard Rodney before with us for whatever reason – he obviously plays for the Browns. He's retired at the end of the season. You knew he was retiring at the end of the season. And he's been joining us, and I wanted to make sure that he was good to go. But Lima has turned me off to texting people. Lima only allows me to text when it's necessary. And so I felt like I might be wasting your time by texting you. I was actually maybe going to text Nobles to tell you something. I swear to God, I'm like, I don't want to bother him. Because Lima just, he takes all, like, he's like, you don't need to bother these people.
Just put it in the game day prayer group message.
Well, you know,
by the way, Rod, here's a script for you. And, you know, Ken said, good luck. He told me to tell you good luck today on your final game.
I texted Josh Gordon after his first career touchdown. Save your jokes, but I met him in a club, and he gave me his phone number.
Wow. What'd
you guys do?
You were in the same section?
We were in the same section. I texted
Big
him
money.
After his first touchdown. He responded, and then a bunch of stuff hit the fan, and I think I was like, well, I'll try one more time to text him, and obviously that number was no longer in use, and that was the hour he blocked me. Who knows? And that was no longer going to be we were not going to continue our relationship at that point.
How'd y'all end up in the same section? Where were you? Where was this at?
Anywho,
reckless speculation.
All right, so I'm gonna have to hit you with a couple of things that are a little bit more harder hitting than what I've hit you before, because you no longer play for the Browns, but you haven't
technically, like, not until the league year ends, right? That's like March 14, free agency, like something like that. So technically, you know, I am still, the roster still exists until that point.
Okay. Well, I'll be careful then. I don't want to get you in any trouble.
But has all the money been exhausted? Is there any chance you can get more out of this?
No.
They owe you any more.
It's locked in, but the payments continue to come in. You know, we're in a new system now and how we get paid.
So, oh.
Yeah.
Really? It doesn't just end this week?
No. It actually continues through.
I'll be dipped.
Yeah. Yeah, over a course of, what, like 6 weeks, something like that?
I should know these things, but I don't like digging through a man's pockets.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Like that.
So Rodney McLeod joins us in studio. So how surreal was Saturday?
It was very surreal up until the point where we ran out as a team. And, you know, I do my trot. And I knew where, like, my family was seated because I got all the tickets. And it was, you know, right behind our bench area, kind of corner of the end zone. And I immediately see, you know, all of them kind of just, like, lock eyes from a distance with, like, every family member that, you know, had attended that game. And they had a sign for me. And, you know, all of just, man, probably not even 13 years, but however many years it's been that I've even, like, been on that grass and put a football in my hand from the age of 6, like, just really came, like, just pouring in all of those emotions. And the reason why, like, I'm standing here today had a lot to do with, you know, every person that was represented in those stands. And is also the very reason why I've continued to play as long as I have, you know, for them. It's unfortunate my wife and daughter couldn't be there just because of the elements. Mm-hmm. Like, it was very bad. Like, my wife started to have FOMO. It was a plan. Like, we talked about it for weeks. Hey, look, you know, the game's probably not going to be ideal for you to come. We'll just monitor the weather as it's going on. It's not going to be good. Boom. We're just going to stay behind. It's fine. Days leading up to, she's like, you think I should do it? You think? So now we're trying to figure out, okay, is there a way we get a suite, mm-hmm. something like for her? It didn't work itself out, but man, thank God she didn't, because it was frigid. That was like unbearable.
Yeah.
I think for my family and even for us as players. But yeah, that was a great moment. Thing that carried through the national anthem, man, and just embraced it. I didn't know when it would hit me, but that was my moment that I had on Saturday.
A lot of opinions of the national anthem on Saturday. Did you hear the national anthem, Tone? As a country singer of some sort,
it seemed
a little more gravelly voice than some of the other ones. Not the worst rendition I had ever heard, for crying out loud, but certainly...
I get all my national anthem opinions at sporting events from Clay Travis, and if he didn't weigh in, I didn't really hear anything about it. What was it like leaving the field that very last time as you were walking out of there? Were you soaking it all in, or were you like, all right, time to shower up and get the hell out of here?
Honestly, I kind of kept things very normal. I connected with a few guys that I knew, some I didn't, who really congratulated me on an amazing career. And, you know, some guys, hey, man, I've been following you for a while. And, you know, much respect. So just people giving my flowers, and took a photo with a UVA alum, a guy I played with, former teammate, Brent Urban, who's with the Ravens, and proceeded to just show my fam some love and just walked off that field with my head high and a lot of accomplishments behind me, and just praising the man upstairs for everything.
Rodney McLeod in studio with us. So yesterday, Andrew Berry gives his end of the year speech, and as every NFL GM does when they talk about conducting their exit interviews. And I always wonder what really goes on. And I don't know, there's only so much you could say, but is it truly a collaborative thing? Do they ask players opinions about what happened that year, what was good, what was bad, the experience of being a Cleveland Brown? Does it ever come a time where you throw coaches and teammates under the bus too? Like, is that a normal part of these interactions?
Yeah, I think the exit interviews are just a moment to do some reflecting. And the reflecting can look a few different ways. It can be, of course, it starts probably with your individual performance, right? Like, how did you do, whether good, bad? And so you may stay on that subject for a little bit, back and forth, conversations take place. And then it could then expand to, all right, as a team, right? Like, what did we do well this year? What didn't we do well? Certain guys, you know, whether you're a veteran like myself or one of the leaders on the team, your opinion is important for leadership. And so those sort of conversations do happen. Then you have people in positions of, okay, like, where does this leave me after today, right? Free agency, you know, whether I'm looking for a contract extension. Like, so some of those small conversations, like, take place and I would say hint, right, into what does the future hold for you as that individual sitting in those rooms. And typically, you know, you're going to do your meetings with, of course, AB, ownership, your position group coach, and then more than likely the coordinator, and of course, the, you know, head coach being Kev. Those are probably the five that you're going to meet with in some way. More than likely, if you don't meet with all five, you're at least going to meet with three out of the five.
But you said ownership.
Yeah, ownership takes place too. That that doesn't happen everywhere. To be honest, I've been in certain stops where ownership happens for selective members. Ownership happens for every single player. It just really depends on the organization and their style. And then, you know, you just you adapt. And you show up, right? You got a meeting, and you show up. 9 o'clock, I'm there at 9 o'clock. Really.
You right, talked to Jimmy?
I talked to Haz.
Yeah. How long did that conversation go?
That was probably like 20 minutes.
Whoa.
It was a good conversation.
You just had a billionaire talk to you for a guy worth that much money talk to you, Rodney McLeod, for 20 minutes? Yeah. Most people do not get that opportunity in a lifetime.
Yeah, I've been in that seat a lot longer with previous organizations, Indianapolis specifically. I think I was in for like 45 minutes to an hour.
I bet that guy had a lot of things to say to you.
Well, it was his daughter. She picked my brain a lot. She's fully invested in the team and the future of the Colts, of course. And I was very surprised. But, yeah, I was in there for like 45.
No, the story came out over the weekend, Tone. I think Jonathan Jones had written a story about Shane Steichen, I think, is safe. But at least John's friend, Ballard, he might be up in the air. And they were like, yeah, his daughter has taken a firm grasp on the organization. Because I think Jim Irsay is maybe a little bit older than what guys like me realize there.
Yeah, like you'll see her often on the sidelines, headset, listening to everything. She's attending position meetings. She's taking the steps in order to put herself in position to be able to manage that team at some point.
So, boy, I tell you, if I own the team, I don't think I would want to sit down with every player. I think I would want to sit down with veterans such as yourself, such as, guys with Joel, Miles, Oboe, guys like that.
You guys have been elsewhere, too.
Yeah. Comparing, contrasting things that we could have done better. Where the season may have gone off the rails, things that we could do to head that off from going off the rails, especially in a pivotal year next year for everybody involved. I think that's what I would do. I don't know if I would meet with everybody, though. That's something for me.
Yeah. But again, every organization has its own formula in the way that they want to conduct their exit meetings. So, again, like I said, I've been a part where, you see, many people meet with ownership, or you see as little as maybe, two people meet with ownership. So, it's all part of the game. But it is a little uncomfortable at first when you sit down or that meeting's awaiting. Like, ownership, okay, like, what is that going to look like? What are they going to ask me? You're a little on edge, but Haslam's make it very comfortable. It was a very fruitful conversation and productive.
So how do you walk away from the Browns, your discussions with them, the season obviously wasn't what you wanted it to be, and just your overall experience as a Cleveland Brown? They do these player surveys all the time. I mean, you've been elsewhere too. You've been in other places. You've been in winning situations. I mean, what's your overall takeaway from this experience with the Browns? I think Browns fans would love to hear your thoughts on this.
I mean, honestly, for me, it's a blessing, for just to have a job. So I'm forever grateful for the opportunity to be able to showcase my talents here in Cleveland and be a part of a tremendous locker room. People ask, what are you going to miss most, or what are you going to take away from your experience here in Cleveland? And you instantly look at the people, and for me, the people that I've had the pleasure of serving and standing beside have been amazing, and nothing shy of that. Walk away with some great relationships that will continue to live outside of the locker rooms, and that's what it's about now in life. As I enter, getting ready to turn 35, in June, you really focus on the relationships that you formed. And I've been able to forge a lot of those over the course of 2 years. The fans here have been amazing. I feel like they match my soul, my heart. They're blue collar, hardworking, passionate, loyal. Sometimes, hey, they're going to speak their mind freely as they should, and need to, but it's all coming from, a great place, I believe, at the end of the day. And, it's unfortunate that I couldn't, do the things that I wanted to do, here. When you step into any place, you want to leave your mark and your legacy. And last year, of course, we made the playoffs. Season was cut short for me, and I was really hoping that this would be the year that, you know, I could help bring the first to Cleveland, you know, similarly to what I did in Philly. But God had different plans, and you got to live with the outcome. A lot of lessons learned. A lot of amazing things still took place, you know, despite the outcome of this season. So, again, man, to Cleveland, I appreciate it. And to everybody that, you know, played a part this year, we thank you. Salute.